Yeah. So we were discussing, we're on Beis Amid Beis. We were discussing why is an egg forbidden if it is born on Yom Tov. So Rabba, right? Rabba, according to, well, again, Beis Shammai says you can eat it, but according to Beis Hillel says you cannot eat it. So according to Rabba, let's go back. So Rabba's answer is that the reason the egg is forbidden is because any egg that is laid on a given day was actually finished and ready to be laid the day before. Mm. And therefore, he says, the problem of Yom Tov is not any Yom Tov, but if it's a Yom Tov after a Shabbos, or a Shabbos after a Yom Tov,
Sunday.
The problem is, right, when Yom Tov is either Sunday or Friday,
which is this,
right? So when the egg is born on the second day, it was actually finished the day before. And what's the problem? That you're not supposed to have Yom Tov prepare for Shabbos, or Shabbos prepare for Yom Tov. It's an Isser called Hachana. Now, what's Rabba's Chiddush? Rabba's Chiddush is the following. We normally perceive of Hachana as a prohibition of human preparation. I'm not allowed to do something on Shabbos for Yom Tov. I'm not allowed to do something on Yom Tov for Shabbos. But this is not any human Hachana. This is the automatic biological process of the egg being completed. But Rabba has a drasha that the prohibition of preparation on Yom Tov for Shabbos or for Shabbos for Yom Tov even applies where the preparation was bidei shamayim, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the egg. That's Rabba's Chiddush, and it's because of Hachana. And the Gemara actually explains that according to him, the question is this: so why does Beis Hillel say the egg is always usher if it's laid on Yom Tov? It should only be usher if it's laid on a Yom Tov that follows a Shabbos, like Sunday. And Rabba's answer is, you're right, that's only a rabbinic decree that we forbid every Yom Tov in order that you shouldn't eat the egg when it's a Yom Tov that comes after Shabbos. A gezeira. All right? Now, so we're up to Rabba L'Tameh. Rabba L'Tameh. Rabba follows his reasoning. The Amar Rabba, Rabba has the following drasha. My dichsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? This is by the man that fell in the midbar. Vahaya bayom hashishi, it shall be on Friday. Vehechinu eis asher yaviu, they shall prepare all of the man they bring from the fields. Right, if you recall, this was simply the pasuk that says a double portion shall fall on Friday, and they shall prepare for Shabbos. So Rabba interprets the pasuk this way: Chol meichin l'Shabbos. Shabbos preparations must be done on a weekday. Chol meichin l'Yom Tov. Yom Tov preparations must be done on a weekday. What does that mean? Ein Yom Tov Meichin l'Shabbos. You're not allowed to prepare things on Yom Tov for Shabbos. V'ein Shabbos Meichina l'Yom Tov. And Shabbos cannot prepare for Yom Tov. Well, Erev Tavshilin, we will see weiter. There is a din of Erev Tavshilin, but in the absence of an Erev Tavshilin, it is true that you are not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now again, though, let me remind you that the Chiddush of Rabba is that even the type of Hachana that is not human action, you can't even benefit from the automatic Hachana that occurs the day before on Shabbos for Yom Tov, such as the egg, and that is why the egg is prohibited, because the egg that's laid on Shabbos was finished on Yom Tov, or vice versa, and therefore you're not allowed to eat that egg. Which means it's not because of general muksa principles, it's specifically because of this problem of hachana. Now, Omer le'Abaye, to Abaye now asks an obvious question, Ela me'ata Yom Tov bi'alma tishtri. So according to that, if the only problem is because Shabbos is preparing for Yom Tov, that should only be a problem when the egg is laid on a Sunday, a Yom Tov, right after a Shabbos. But if Yom Tov is Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, so when was the egg finished? The egg was finished on Chol. What's the prop? So the Gemara's answer is, Ein Achinami, Gezeira, the rabbis made a decree that on no Yom Tov can you eat the egg, lest it be a Yom Tov that falls after Shabbos. Same question, Shabbos the Alma Tishri. If the egg is laid on Shabbos and Friday was not a Yom Tov, the egg ought to be permitted. Once again, the answer is, Gezeira, the rabbis made a Gezeira, Mishum Shabbos Achar Yom Tov, meaning, technically, the egg should only be usher on Shabbos when Yom Tov was Friday, and it should only be usher on Yom Tov when Yom Tov is Sunday. But the rabbis ushered every, this is according to Beit Hillel, of course, the rabbis ushered every Yom Tov, the rabbis ushered every Shabbos. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Umi Gazrina, do we make Gezeros? That, in other words, you can't do it any Yom Tov, lest you come to do it in Yom Tov after Shabbos. We don't make such a gezeira. For Sanya, we have a brisa that says the following. Hashochet es ha-tarnagolas. If I shecht a chicken on Yom Tov, which of course I'm allowed to do, umatsa ba beim gemuros, and I find within the chicken, within the hen, completely developed eggs. Eggs which have not been laid yet, but they are completely developed eggs. So here it says, Mutaros Liochlon Biyamtif. Now, how do you understand this here? In other words, first of all, there's a whole shiloh, we're not discussing this. Are the eggs that you find within a slaughtered chicken, fleishik or parv? We know, of course, once a chicken lays the egg, it is treated as parv, right? An egg is parv, right? Funny thing. Right, because you could argue logically that the milk ought to be fleishik because it comes from a cow, and eggs ought to be at least fowl, at least, you know, fleishik, chicken fleishik, and yet eggs are parv and milk is milchik, obviously. Now the thing is, we're not discussing it. The Shulchan Aruch has a whole discussion about whether eggs inside of a slaughtered bird are sometimes going to be fleishik, sometimes not. But we're simply dealing with a more limited question, and that is, the Mishnah tells me if the egg is laid on Yom Tov, I can't eat it. That much it tells me, for whatever the reason. And yet, if I shecht it in the chicken, and I find it in the chicken, I'm allowed to eat it. And apparently the distinction is...
The chicken is mukhan.
The chicken is mukhan, right.
So everything in it would probably be...
Right, so that would be the difference, apparently. The difference would be, as long as the egg is within the chicken, it has the status of the chicken, and it is not considered a totally separate entity. Mm-hmm. Once it's laid, I have to look at it in its own capacity. In its own capacity, it's a newly laid egg. When it's in the chicken, however, I could eat the chicken, right? It's mukhan, as you say. The chicken was designated for shechita.
Like eating the stomach.
So I could eat the egg. It's like eating the stomach. That's right.
It's like the betokua.
That's right. You actually have even
have
a stri- that's correct. That's even more striking, right? If you shecht a cow, a pregnant cow, and there's a fetus inside, whether the fetus is dead or alive, whether it's born dead or born alive, or taken out dead or alive, the lachazah does not need to be shechted. Meaning you can shoot it or kill it in any way, because it is nitar. It is permissible through the shechita of the mother. The shechita of the mother matters the vlad inside. Huh? That is halacha l'maisa. Yeah, that is halacha l'maisa. There are actually laws, I think, in terms of...
That's what the rabbi cut the rabbi on what time he did without shechting, because he had said the kula.
Yeah.
So they said that he ate without shechting.
Right, right. But there is, I think, under health codes, for some reason, any fetus that is retrieved from a slaughtered animal can only be used for animal food. It cannot be sold as human. That's today. There are health laws regarding fetal material within animals and the
like. I can turn this around a lot of them by saying, if the whole time it's in the animal, it has to set up the animal, then where is there a hachana then? prior to today.
Yeah, that's a good question. Apparently, the logic is, once it is once it is laid, and is a separate entity, I can then reconstruct its history and say, oh, that which enables it today to be a separate entity was the finishing process that occurred yesterday. But you only look at that as a hachana in light of the retrospect. It's a retrospective look at something that's now a separate entity. But as long as it's part of a hen, you know, you don't look at it as a hachana. But the Gemara's so that's essentially the reason why I can eat the eggs that are in the chicken that I shech, even though I could not eat the eggs that are laid. But the Gemara's would they be fleishik? That would depend. If it already has a shell, if it's really already has its own shell, it would actually still be parif. If you retrieve an egg that has not yet developed a shell, then it's indeed part of the part of the.
I have a question then. If it's not fleishik, then it's really part of the chicken.
Well, yeah, these laws are not 100% internally consistent. Meaning to say, I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, well, if it's parav, then it's not part of the chicken, and then I should look at it as if it's a laid egg. Well, again, no, not necessarily. Meaning to say, even if it's not so attached to the chicken that it's considered to be fleishik, but it's attached enough that I don't consider it to be hachana. You know, again, the gedarim don't have to march lockstep in that particular way. Yeah.
You slaughter a cow and you find milk in the udder. Is it
fleishik? Let me put it this way. You know, it's interesting. It's not milchik. In fact, that's called chalav shchuta. Milk that you find in an animal after shechita, da'oraisa, is not milchik. The question is it therefore fleishik? I believe not. I believe it has the status of parf.
It's
parf. Da'oraisa, midrabanan, it is milk.
Oh.
And you could not cook it with meat.
Mar-mar-sign.
But on the other hand, even midrabanan, I believe it's milk, meaning you can eat it with milk. In other words, I don't think we take the position. Right, I don't think we take the position that it's meat.
Isn't that the same case in Poland? That's how you can actually have milk with meat and still be kosher.
Yeah, chalav. This is called chalav shchuta. Well, that's the other. Yeah, that deals with milk in another. Right. Now, milk in a stomach is a different thing. So you have to differentiate. I'm referring to milk in an udder.
In an udder.
Yeah, milk in a stomach, meaning if an animal ingested milk, that's considered to be garbage. Stomach contents are not considered to be milkic or fleishik. They're considered to be inedible. But milk in an udder is doraisa, not milk. But midrabanan, you have to get rid of it. In fact, there's a whole complicated procedure. If you want an udder, how do you kasher an udder? To be sure that you drain out all of the milk that's there. Yeah, so you gotta slit it in different ways and press it against the wall, and you know, there are different ways of kashering it. But all of that is rabbinic, because the araisa, it's not considered milk. Yeah. Yeah, but the Gemara is asking a simple question, and that is, once you start making gezeiros, because people will be confused, then wait a second here. If I can't eat the egg that's laid, then I shouldn't be able to eat the egg that's in the animal, because people might get mixed up. The emisa, if you're going to make gezeiros, ligzer mishum ha'arich misyaldin biyomehen. Make the gezeira because of eggs that are born that day, that are hatched. So the answer is, omar leh. So Abaya answers, Beyim gemuros bimei iman, to find complete eggs in a chicken that you slaughter, is milse delo shechichahi. It is an uncommon event. It doesn't happen that often. And therefore we have a general rule, milse delo shechicha. Events that are very unusual, lo gazru barba. In other words, the rabbis don't make decrees. In other words, what are we going to say? Don't eat this because you'll come to eat this. If this is a 1 in a million or 1 in a 10,000 type of occurrence, we don't feel a need to single it out and make it prohibited. And that's why we don't make that gezeira. Okay. So that's reason number two. So far we've actually had two reasons why you're not allowed to eat the egg that is laid on Shabbos. The first reason focused on muktzah. Now again, though, that presupposed a certain type of chicken. That if the chicken was not mukhan for slaughter, it was only there for egg laying, the egg is a newly created entity which was not in a state of readiness and usability before Shabbos, and therefore it is prohibited under the principle of nolad. Now, if you go with that idea, it makes no difference if it's a Yom Tov after Shabbos or a Shabbos after Yom Tov. Even if it's a regular Yom Tov, it's going to be forbidden because it's a newly created entity from something that was not in a state of usability because it was a hen that was set aside for egg laying. The second reason is that we're talking about a chicken that was set aside for slaughter. So the chicken was mukhan, and therefore the egg would not be muktzah intrinsically. But if it's a Yom Tov after Shabbos or a Shabbos after Yom Tov, it's a problem of hachana. And then the rabbis made a gezeirah for every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. Now we have a third reason why the egg might be prohibited. And that is Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef says, Gezeira, there's a rabbinic decree, Mishum Peros Haneshrin, because of fruit that falls off a tree. So here we're dealing with this. Let's imagine this. We know, of course, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov too, I'm not allowed to harvest fruit. In fact, we'll have to discuss why aren't I allowed to harvest on Yom Tov. But nevertheless, it is very clear you cannot harvest on Yom Tov. Now, what's the halacha if a fruit fell off a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov? I have an apple tree. Can I eat the apple that falls off my tree? So the answer is, it's muktzah. But why is it muktzah? In other words, it's muktzah because of a rabbinic decree. The rabbis prohibited eating a fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos, because if you're tempted to eat the fruit, you might come to pull the fruit off the tree. Therefore, it's muktzah. That's right, a second helping. And therefore, in order to avoid any chashash that you might pull the fruit off the tree, the halach is you can't eat it. That's a gezeirah. What?
But do they have to eat it? It's still on the ground.
Yeah, sure, you could have it then. So it's only forbidden on Yom Tov, right? On Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Now.
But you don't know necessarily when it fell. If you assume that it fell.
Well, if I knew that it fell before Shabbos, I would be allowed to eat it. I mean, if an apple fell off my tree on Friday, and I didn't get to it till Shabbos, I can eat it. But if I don't know, I have to assume that it might have fallen off that day. Now, here's the thing: what Rav Yosef says is, Rav Yosef is drawing a conceptual analogy between a chicken that lays an egg, in which the egg gets separated from its source, and an apple falling off a tree. And Rav Yosef says, well, if the rabbis made a decree that you can't eat the apple that separates from the tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov, then by the same token they'll make a decree that you can't eat the egg that separates from the chicken. Although the logic of the two cases is not at all commensurate, because the problem with the apple that falls off the tree is what? I might come and pick up the apple. What am I going to do? I'm going to take the egg out of the chicken? And even if I did, it's not clear what malacha that is exactly. You know. So Rav Yosef is making this gezeira not because the two cases are conceptually alike, but because the two cases bear a physical resemblance, and therefore, if we permit the egg, people might come to permit the apple. So essentially what the rabbi said is, we're not going to let you eat the egg, because if you're allowed to eat the egg, you might figure you're allowed to eat the apple, and that you're not allowed to do. And therefore we make a gezeira. Now the problem Abaye is going to raise is a very good kasha. This falls squarely within the problem of what we call a gezeira ligezeira. What is a gezeira ligezeira? The rabbis make gezeiras all the time. What is the typical gezeira? Don't do X, which under Torah law is permitted, Because we're afraid if you'll do X, you'll cross the line and do a Y that is a Torah violation. So don't do X to keep you away from the line. Now, let's say the rabbis then want to forbid you to do W or Y.
W.
Don't do Y because maybe you'll come to X. But that's not it. You can't go that far. If X intrinsically is only bad because you'll come to Z, in other words, we're not going to make a gezerah to prevent you from transgressing a gezerah. We only make a gezerah to prevent you from transgressing the Torah. Now, here is what Abaya says. Yeah, we do have actually many exceptions. That actually is gezerah l'gezerah. Well, I mean, even the Basar B'Chalav is a very good example. I mean, d'oraisa, you're not allowed to cook meat and milk. But we make a gezerah that you're not supposed to eat them together or even a certain amount of waiting, whatever that waiting is. Now, we then say you have to wait, let's say, 6 hours between chicken and milk. Why do you have to wait 6 hours between chicken and milk? Because even though chicken is not meat, but if you eat chicken and milk without waiting 6 hours, you'll come to eat meat and milk without waiting 6 hours. But eating meat and milk without waiting 6 hours is also only a gezerah lest you come to cook. So actually, Basar B'Chalav itself is chock full of gezerahs l'gezerahs. So there are many exceptions. But in terms of the question here, Abaya asks Rav Yosef the following question. You're telling me I can't eat the egg because if I could eat the egg that's laid on Shabbos, I'll come to eat the apple that falls off the tree. But eating the apple that falls off the tree is not prohibited in the Torah. The rabbis prohibited eating the apple only because if you eat the apple, you might come to pull off the tree. So the d'oraisa is what? Harvesting. The rabbis made a gezerah not eating the apple that fell of its own accord. So you're now making, or you're not making, but you're explaining the Mishnah. We make a gezerah not to eat the egg, lest I come and eat the apple, which in itself is only usher as a gezerah, lest I come to pick the fruit. So Abaya says, do we make decrees in order not to violate a decree? Gezerah le gezerah? You make a gezerah to a gezerah? Right, so let's read it inside. Two lines from the bottom on Beis on the base. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, Gezerah, we make a Gezerah not to eat the egg. Mishum peros hanoshrin, because it resembles a fruit that fell off a tree, which the rabbis say you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So Amar le Abaye, so says Abaye, what do you mean? Peros hanoshrin taimamai. Why did the rabbi say you're not allowed to eat peros hanoshrin? Gezerah, they made a gezerah. Shema yale v'yitlosh, lest you climb up the tree and harvest. So he gufa gezerah. So not eating the fruit is not prohibited intrinsically. Not eating the fruit is a decree. The anan, nekum, the nikzor. And we should arise and decree a gezerah of not eating an egg, li gezerah, in order that you don't transgress another gezerah. It's gezerah li gezerah. We don't do that. So the Gemara gives an answer which is kind of almost the stock answer that can give for everything, and that is kula chada gezerahi. All of this was made the same time. Meaning chronology is very, very essential here. Meaning the following. If gezerah number one was don't eat the apple because you'll come to pick the fruit, and at a later time a Beis Din wanted to say, you know, since eggs being laid resembles apples falling off trees, let's make a second gezerah in order that you shouldn't transgress the first gezerah, that would be the principle that you don't make a gezerah on a gezerah. However, if at the time they made the first gezerah, they said, you know, in order to protect the problem of harvesting the apple, we are going to decree that anything which resembles a fallen fruit cannot be eaten, including an egg that's laid, then chronologically it was all one big gezeirah, and therefore it's not a two-stage legislative process. It was an omnibus bill that was made at one time, so that's not called gezeirah v'gezeirah. Which means apparently this is not a conceptual distinction. This is a chronological distinction, meaning to say that if the extension from fruit to egg were to have been made at a later time than the initial enactment, that would be gezeirah l'gezeirah. But at the time they make the original enactment, they can in fact broaden this to include the egg as well. Therefore, it is not a gezeirah l'gezeirah.
It's all in one fell swoop.
All one fell swoop, that's right. Which means they can make it as broad as they want. They could have said, they could have said anything. You know, they could have, even if it would be, even if logically it's 20 steps removed, as long as at the time they say this is close enough that we prohibit it, that would not be a gezeirah l'gezeirah at all. Okay, so far we have three reasons why the egg is prohibited. One is because it's nolat, but that's only true if the chicken is set aside for egg laying. The other is hachana, and the third is the resemblance superficially to fruit that falls off a tree. Now we have a fourth. By the way, I just want to point out how people often get mixed up with cause and effect here. When I said initially, what's the rule? Why can't you eat a fruit that fell off a tree? So somebody said, because it's muktza. See, here's what you have to understand. Muktza is not the reason that it's usser. Once it is usser to eat, it then becomes muktza, because things that have no use cannot be moved. So muktza is not the cause. Muktza is the consequence. The reason why it's usser is the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to eat a fruit that falls off a tree lest you come and pull it off. Now, if it is now a forbidden fruit, so forbidden fruit cannot be moved, even moved on Shabbos, not just eaten, because things that have no use on Shabbos are mukta. So mukta is the consequence of the isser. It is not the reason of the isser. Yep. Not this muktzah. I mean, it depends. Some muktzahs can be, but this muktzah cannot be. I mean, that's another question. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. Rabbi Yitzchak is going to be a very similar answer to Rabbi Yosef, but he's going to give a slightly different analogy. Gezeira, we prohibit eating the laid egg, mishum mashkin shezavu, because of juices that ooze out of fruit on Shabbos Yom Tov. Now, this is virtually the same type of problem, although it's a different malacha. Let's say I have grapes, severed grapes, harvested grapes, and I put the grapes in a bowl. Now, it's clear, of course, I'm not allowed to squeeze the grapes on Shabbos or Yom Tov to get their juice. That's a malacha. The malacha is sechita. Squeezing fruits to get their juice is a malacha. But what if I didn't squeeze the grapes? What if they're just lying around and juice oozes out of the grapes? Am I allowed to drink the juice that oozes out of fruit on Shabbos and Yom Tov when I did not squeeze it? Well, this is the identical gezeira. The same principle that the Rabbanan said that you're not allowed to eat the fruit lest you pick the fruit off the tree, they also said when juice oozes out of the fruit, you're not allowed to drink the juice lest you come and squeeze it. So what Rav Yitzchak is saying is the following. Again, it's only a question of analogy. He looks at the egg that comes out of the chicken as physically analogous to juice that oozes out of a fruit. So essentially, it's the same answer as Rav Yosef. The only question is the pictorial analogy. Mm-hmm. You compare the laying of an egg to the severing of a fruit from the tree? Or do you compare the laying of an egg to the oozing of juice out of fruit? But it's the same idea that it's analogous to that, and therefore the Rabbanan made a gezeira, and Abaye asks the same question. It's a gezeira, ligzeira, right? Don't eat the egg because you may come to drink the juice, but even drinking the juice is only prohibited because you might squeeze the fruit, so it's a gezeira, not to transgress a gezeira, and the answer is going to be the same answer. It was all one gezeira.
You're talking about whole fruit.
Yeah.
But if you cut fruit,
yeah,
before Shabbos you put it in a bowl, it's going to exude juice.
Yeah.
There actually are questions
there. I will say this. It is prohibited to then try to collect the juice in a cup or the like. In other words, you can eat the juice as part of the fruit, and the same thing here, but you cannot like separate the juice and treat it like juice. And it's not for the same reason, lest you come and squeeze it. So with grapefruits, when you're eating grapefruits, yeah, when you're eating grapefruits and juice accumulates, you're not allowed to take, really, you're not supposed to take the grapefruit and turn it over. Of course, you can't squeeze it, that's for sure, but even to turn it over and collect the juice in a cup, you don't do. You only eat it as part of the food. Well, if, again, if it's served with food, then you're eating it with the food, but it should not be accumulated separately. So this is a gezeira d'rabban. So again, Amalei Abaye, the same question. Mashkin shezavu taima mai gezeira shema yitzchot. We make a gezeira lest you come to squeeze. He gufa gezeira. That itself is a gezeira. The anan nekem v'nigzer. We're going to make a gezeira of the gezeira. So the Gemara's answer is kula. All of this chada gezeira he is one big gezeira. Okay. So b'sach hakol, we have four explanations, no fewer than four explanations for why the egg that is laid on Shabbos or Yom Tov is prohibited. Now, just in terms of the names, the first explanation was Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the one that said, now remember, he's the only one that says, we have to be talking about a chicken that is set aside for egg laying, therefore it was not muchan, it was not in a state of usability, and therefore the egg is prohibited because of nolad or muktzah. That's reason one. Rabba, the other opinions are even if the chicken is for shechita, Rabba says it's forbidden because hachana, because it was prepared on Shabbos the day before. Rav Yosef says it resembles a fruit that falls off a tree. And Rav Yitzchak says it resembles liquid that oozes out of fruit. So now the Gemara is going to address briefly, why does each opinion not agree with the other opinion? In other words, what infirmity did each view see in the other view? So the Gemara says, Kulu, all the other views, Ki Rav Nachman loy amri. They did not want to say like Rav Nachman that it's because of nolad. Ki kushyan, because we had a question on that. If you remember, the Gemara basically said the following. According to Rav Nachman, the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was, is there such a concept as mukta? That Beis Hillel says there's an isser of nolad, and Beis Shammai says there's no isser of nolad, but the Gemara said, if that's the case, they shouldn't have only been arguing about the egg, they should have been arguing about the chicken. If you have a chicken that was not set aside for shechita, can you change your mind? Meaning, why did the Mishnah pick egg? It should have discussed the controversy about the chicken. Now that's not true like any of the other reasons. Like any of the other reasons, the machlokas is egg specific. Hachana only goes on the egg. The analogy to the apple that falls off the tree only pertains to the egg. And the liquid that oozes out of the fruit only pertains to the egg. And that's why there'd be no controversy about the chicken. But like Rav Nachman, there should even have been a controversy about the chicken. In other words, a chicken that was set aside for egg laying, am I allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov? So that's why they didn't like Rav Nachman. Kirabba Nami, The other opinions didn't want to go like Rabba, Lo Amri, they didn't want to say, Hachana Leslu, they don't hold the Fachana. Now, what that means, they don't hold the Fachana, they do hold the Fachana, but they don't hold of Rabba's extension of Hachana to things that happen automatically in the normal course of development. Now, as we understand that, Ella, so the two opinions that we're not clear about is the analogy opinions. Rav Yosef analogizes the egg to an apple falling off a tree, and Rav Yitzchak analogizes it to liquid oozing out of fruit. Why does each one consider their analogy preferable? Ella, Rav Yosef, who says the fruit, my time Amar Rav Yitzchak, who says the juice. So Amar Lach, Rav Yosef will tell you, hey, Beya Uchla, an egg is a solid food. Peros Uchla, fruit that falls off a tree. In other words, again, it's really just a question of external resemblance. That an egg which is solid more closely resembles a fruit that is solid than it does juice, which is liquid. The afuke, that excludes liquid, the lavuchla. And that's why Rav Yosef goes with the analogy of the fruit. The Rabbi Yitzchak, my time le'amar k'Rav Yosef. Why does Rav Yitzchak go with the juice and does not go like Rav Yosef with the fruit? Amar Lach, he says, Beya Balua. The egg was absorbed in the chicken and came out, just like liquid is absorbed in the fruit and comes out. It is different than fruit growing on a tree, which is in the open. So again, he sees the egg coming out of the chicken's body as more physically similar to the juice coming out of the fruit. Afuke, peros, the miglu, which are revealed, the kaimu in standing. Okay, again, it's not really a major issue because ultimately it's the same type of problem, but it's only a technical issue. Is the gezeira because of peros that fall off a tree, or is the gezeira because of a juice that oozes out of the fruit? And it's simply a question whether the egg is more similar to a fruit falling off a tree or to the juice oozing out of the fruit. Okay. Now then the Gemara says, V'af Rabbi Yochanan Savar Gezeira Mishum Mashkin Shezavu, that the great Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak that the reason why the egg that is laid on Shabbos and Yom Tov cannot be eaten is because it resembles fruit, a juice that oozes out of fruit. How do we know that Rav Yochanan says that? The af Rav Yochanan Savar, also Rav Yochanan holds gezeira, that it's a gezeira mishum mashkin shezavu. Do Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rav Yochanan had a contradiction, do Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda, between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, umeshani, and he gave an answer, and from his answer we will see how he understands our Mishnah. What's the contradiction? Tanan. There's a Mishnah that says in Masechet Shabbos the following. And this will actually answer some of your questions. Mishnah starts off with the following rule. Ein seichetin esaperos lahotzi mehen mashkin. Now that's obvious. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit in order to extract their liquids. That's an issur d'oraisa. You cannot squeeze olives or grapes. That's d'oraisa, actually. If you squeeze oranges, that may be drabanan. But whatever it is, that's the issur of squeezing it to get the juice. Okay. V'yim yatsu meyatsman. If the juice oozes out by itself, asurin, it is prohibited, and that's the gezeira we refer to, that you're not allowed to drink the juice that oozes out of fruit by itself, because the Rabbanan were afraid if you could have access to that juice, you might come and squeeze it. Okay, that's fine. Now, here, however, the Mishnah introduces Rabbi Yehuda, who gives us another distinction, and he says, im li'ochlin, if you accumulated the fruit with the intention of eating it as food, hayotzim yam mutter, v'im lamashkin, hayotzim yam aser. Now, we don't pass like this distinction. Rav Yehuda makes the following distinction. Why is oozing juice prohibited? Oozing juice is prohibited because you might come and squeeze the fruit. So Rav Yehuda says, it depends why you accumulated the fruit in the first place. If I accumulate grapes in a bowl before Shabbos with the intention of eating them, that's what I want to do. I don't want to make wine out of them. Then Rav Yehuda says, even if grape juice oozes from them, I'm allowed to drink this. Because we're not afraid I'll come and squeeze it. Because my purpose of accumulating the grapes was to eat them. If, on the other hand, I accumulated the grapes with the hope of squeezing them and making wine, then, indeed, if juice comes out, I'm not allowed to drink the juice because we are afraid I may come and squeeze the grapes. So, unlike the Tanakhama, right, unlike the Tanakhama, who categorically says any juice coming out of fruit on Shabbos cannot be eaten, Rabbi Yehuda differentiates between fruit that is gathered for eating and fruit that is gathered for making liquid. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Now, we'll see the contradiction in a moment. Alma, we see from this, this is Rabbi Yochanan asking a question. We see from this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, Kol uchlim eichlim l'Rabbi Yehuda, that anything that's accumulated for food, uchla diyifrasu, the liquid that comes out is treated like any other food. In other words, you're allowed to eat it or drink it. Uchla diyifras meaning the liquid is simply part of the food and you're allowed to eat it or drink it. That's what you see from the first statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Varminhu, so a question is raised from another statement of Rabbi Yehuda that says, the Eid Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Masne Adam al Kalkala shall peiros b'yamtav rishon, the ochla b'sheni. Yeah, what is that referring to? That's referring to a totally different issue. Yeah, here is the problem. This is dealing with a little... Yeah, the first thing is not directly nogea to our sugya, but let me just talk about this generally. The Mishnah there is talking about the only Yom Tov in which you have 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael, and that is the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Now, keep in mind, although today we have 2 days, in Yerushalayim you didn't always have 2 days. Because, once again, if on the 30th day of Elul, which is Rosh Hashanah, on the 30th day of Elul, witnesses come and say they saw the new moon, at least if they came early enough, we would make Rosh Hashanah the 30th day of Elul, and there would be no second day of Rosh Hashanah. If no witnesses came the first day, we would actually have 2 days. And the reason is because we have to keep on keeping the first day, because maybe witnesses will come, and if no witnesses come, we then have to go to the second day. Which means to say, in Yerushalayim, sometimes Rosh Hashanah was day one, and sometimes it would be day one and two, but you would never really have a situation where it would only be day two, because you'd always have to keep day one, because maybe witnesses would come. And in fact, in the vast majority of years, witnesses did in fact come on day one. So in Yerushalayim proper, it's a good question, why in Yerushalayim do you have to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah today? But in Yerushalayim proper, B'zman HaMikdash, very often they only kept 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. However, anywhere outside of the Chum of Yerushalayim, even in Eretz Yisrael, they had to keep 2 days because they didn't know what they were doing in Yerushalayim, right? Day one or day two. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says the following. We know that midrabbanan, you're not allowed to separate trumos and masros on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's forbidden rabbinically. Which means, in Eretz Yisrael, you might be stuck. You have all this produce you can't eat. So Rabbi Yehuda says, talking about Rosh Hashanah, because that's the only two-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, that you can do the following idea. Since the idea of keeping 2 days is an either-or, because it's either the first day or the second day, and we just don't know which day they made holy, so he says the following. You could be mafrish, trumas, and masros, and make it Tanai. You could say the following. If today is Chol and tomorrow is Kodesh, I hereby make this Truma and Maser. But if today is Kodesh, my Truma should be invalid. In other words, I'm only doing this if today is Chol. Now, obviously, you can't eat it today, because if today is Kodesh, you didn't make a Truma and Maser. But you do the same thing the second day. And then you can eat it the second day. Do you see what's going on here? In other words, like this. You have produce. You're not allowed to take off trumas and masros on the Yom Tov day. But the Yom Tov day is either day one or day two. So be mafrish trumas and masros from the same thing every day, both days, and making condition. Separate it on day one and say, if today turns out to be chol, this should hereby be valid. If today is Yom Tov, what I'm doing should be null and void. Then, take the same thing the next day and say, if yesterday was Kodesh and my action yesterday was void, I'm hereby making a Truma and Meiser today. If yesterday was Chol and my action was valid, my action today should be void. That way, you've covered your bases. By day two, for sure you have separated Truma and Maser. Therefore, you're allowed to eat it on day two. You can't eat it on day one.
Except if it's like this year, like first day Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, you're correct. It would not work when Shabbos is the first day. That's mm-hmm. correct. So that's the first thing, that you can make a reciprocal condition on both of the days and to be able to eat your fruit on day two. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that he said. But the second thing is problematical. V'chein, and similarly, Be'ya Shenelda Barishain, if an egg was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Teyochel B'Sheni, you may eat it. We actually haven't discussed that yet, but we'll have a whole sugya. You can eat it the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And the reason Rabbi Yehuda says this is a miman of shach. Because he says, if the first day is Yom Tov, so the egg was born on Yom Tov, but the second day is after Yom Tov, even though I don't know, and therefore I could eat it. And if the first day is not Yom Tov, and the second day is Yom Tov, the egg was born Erev Yom Tov. In other words, the egg, I can't eat the egg on the first day, because maybe the first day is Yom Tov, and the egg was born on Yom Tov, but I can eat it the second day, Miman of Shach. Now, Rav Yochanan asked the Kasha, that implies, Basheni in, you could only eat the egg the second day of Yom Tov, Berishain lo, you cannot eat the egg the first day of Yom Tov, because, in other words, all this is showing essentially is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Beis Hillel that an egg that is laid on Yom Tov cannot be eaten. Now, this is a complicated question, but here's what the Gemara is saying. Rav Yochanan considers this to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda said by fruit, any fruit that is intended to be eaten as a solid, we don't prohibit the oozing out juices. That's what Rav Yehuda said. Now, if it's true that the gezeira of juice that oozes out does not apply to fruit that is accumulated as a solid, since the egg is eaten as a solid, how could Rav Yehuda make the gezeira? Now, here's the point that Gemara is making. The very fact that Rav Yochanan has a question between the egg and the oozing out of the liquid is a proof that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak that the foundational gezeira of the egg is because it resembles the juice of a fruit. And that's why he asked the cut. Because like this, if the reason why the egg is prohibited is because it resembles an apple falling off a tree, or because of hachana, it has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about juice oozing out of fruit. And what is Rabbi Yochanan's question? We haven't seen the answer yet. So what's his question? The egg has nothing to do with the juice. So what is the Gemara saying? Since Rabbi Yochanan asks a question from the juice case to the egg case, the mashmos is that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak that the problem of the egg is it resembles juice, and that's why he has a question. And what's the question? How could Rabbi Yehuda say it's forbidden because it resembles juice coming out of fruit? Rabbi Yehuda himself said when the fruit is there to be eaten, you don't make the gezeira. Right? Now Rabbi Yochanan gives an answer to his question. Umeshani, Rabbi Yochanan's answer to the question is, Umeshani Rabbi Yochanan answered, Muchlefes Hashita means you should reverse the opinions in the earlier Mishnah. In other words, in the earlier Mishnah, the Tanakhama said all of the juice is prohibited, no matter why you accumulated the fruit. And Rabbi Yehuda was mechalek between solid and liquid. Rabbi Yochanan says that is a textually corrupt girsa, and in fact, you should switch the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. So it's Rabbi Yehuda that says the fruit is prohibited no matter what. And that makes him consistent with the egg. So now the Gemara just explains. Umedeka mirmi lehu ahadadi. If Rav Yochanan throws the two categories together, right? Rav Yochanan as a kasha from the egg to the juice. Shema mina. We can infer from here. Chad tama. Who it is one reason that indeed the gezeira of the egg is because it resembles the juice that runs out of the fruit. Okay, let's just see one more answer to this. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, you know, we don't have to say that. Leolam lo tepuch. You do not have to say like Rav Yochanan that you have to reverse the opinions. So what's our contradiction? How could Rav Yehuda say the egg is forbidden because it resembles juice oozing out of fruit? But didn't Rav Yehuda actually say what? Rav Yehuda actually said before that whenever the fruit is for solid consumption, we don't make that gezeira. It's a contradiction. The answer is when Rav Yehuda says the egg is prohibited, I'm sorry, the egg is permitted on day two, it's not because he would prohibit it on day one. Rather, he's saying the following. Rav Yehuda, who says it's permitted on day two, is responding even like the Rabbanan who prohibit the egg, it should only be prohibited on day one and not on day two. But Rav Yehuda himself would even permit it on day one as well, like Beis Shammai. L'didi, according to me, afilu berisho nami sharia, I would permit the egg even on day one, the yuchla, the ifra, so it is simply solid food. Lididchu, but even you who prohibit juice, even when it comes from a solid food, but on the second day of Yom Tov, it should be permitted because of this mimanavshach. If the first day is Yom Tov, the second day is Chol. If the first day is Chol, it was born on Chol. Lididchu, odeli mia, you should be moded to me, de b'sheni sharia, on the second day of Yom Tov should be permitted, the Shtei Kedusha saying, because each day is only a suffix if it's holy, and the Rabbanan saying, okay, we'll stop here because this will introduce a new sugya. Essentially, the new sugya we're going to discuss is when you have 2 days of Yom Tov, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though it was based on doubt, do we say that each day is now definitively holy? Or do we say you could make the assumption that if day one is holy, I could treat day two as chol, and if day two is holy, I could treat day one as chol? And that's going to be very important. If an egg is born on the first day, can I use it the second day? Now again, certainly you can't do malacha either day. That's obvious because each day might be holy. Right? That's not the question. But the question is, if each day might be holy, does that mean I'm allowed to assume that only one of those days is really holy, and therefore like the Truma and the Meiser and everything you could do both days and then eat it the second day, that'll be the discussion of, is it one long definite Kedusha, or is each day a doubtful Kedusha? Okay, so... Yeah, but this is the sugya that says this. This is the sugya in Shas that talks about the status of the special status of Rosh Hashanah as one long day.